You're listening to the Well One Connection, connecting you to important healthcare information. The Well One Connection is a weekly program of Huron Regional Medical Center. Huron Regional Medical Center, providing quality healthcare close to home. Online at huronregional.org.
So today I'm here with James Kerr, Dr. James Kerr, who is a hospitalist here at HRMC, and we're talking about HRMC's readiness and preparedness for a potential patient surge with the COVID-19 pandemic. So tell us, maybe let's start a little bit with, you've been here through the ramp up in March as the hospital has been preparing. Tell us a little bit about your role in that.
My role is to, along parallel with the local doctors, to take care of patients who have respiratory symptoms that puts them as a patient under investigation for COVID-19. Since we can't get tests immediately, since it takes now 48 hours, but earlier 5 days, we have to treat people as if they're COVID positive, whether they are or not, based on their symptoms and based on the pulmonary saturations and the respiratory, what we call respiratory embarrassment, which is the same thing as respiratory insufficiency, that we see evolving in patients. So if we have somebody that comes in with a cough that's short of breath and the x-ray doesn't show very much opacity, which is very typical of COVID-19, it shows bibacillar infiltrates, which means a little fluid in the alveolar sacs and in the interstitial tissues, but it looks like that, and the white count's not elevated. So it means it's not a typical bacterial pneumonia. We have to be fairly suspicious that this could be COVID-19. In that case, we certainly use all the preparation to gown, glove, mask, bonnet, and face shield to prevent transmission to the staff, because we're really what stands between that patient and adequate care for the condition, or even the best care for the condition. So we wear gloves, we wear gowns, we wear bonnets to cover our heads. We wear the positive pressure air masks and the N95 particulate masks, which are actually, they're called respirators because they seal on the face. And we do test fit those with, draw down the atmospheric pressure and see if we have any leaks, and we don't. We've tested that. We've all been fitted with them. We have the hospital set up and cordoned off with plastic sheets so that we have a one-way flow for patients that are suspected of COVID-19, where they come in and come to a what we call a dirty part of the hospital only because it potentially has COVID-19 in it. And then we have a clean part of the emergency room where we take care of lacerations and ankle strains and, you know, gastrointestinal issues and heart attacks, and with the caveat that we're always looking for symptoms that could be particular to COVID-19, and with very little effort, we can switch from a clean room to a COVID-19 room very quickly, because we don't want to be so self-assured that we miss a COVID-19 patient that then contaminates people in the hospital. So that's been set up, and we've also been set up for supplies to protect us from surge, so that we have sufficient gowns, sufficient gloves, sufficient masks, and sufficient eye protection and hoods. And some of the suits are more the Tyvek suit, T-I-V-E-K, where they're sort of a plastic paper combination.
So in terms of caring for positive COVID patients, gratefully, we haven't had a ton of them here. We've had our share of suspected, and we've had 2 inpatients to this point. Talk about some of the other things that we have been planning for, the medications that we're going to use.
Sure.
How we're going to know if we're going to put them on a vent or if we need to transfer them out.
Actually, the decision to put them on the ventilator has a whole lot to do with their respiratory effort, their oxygen saturations, their arterial blood gases, and watching them, we know when to put them on the vent. When they are tired and they can't generate the respiratory effort, or the respiratory effort is being generated and there are 35 respirations per minute, but they're not improving their saturations, we know we have to put them on a ventilator. Not just to rest them, but because they can't get the same flow dynamic that we can get, and they're using up precious energy to try and breathe it, they're going to need just to recover. So that's probably the least of our worries. We're all trained to recognize respiratory distress and how to train it, how to fix that with ACLS protocols. We have stocked up on some medications. We have a COVID-19 protocol for medications to be given, which stop the or slow the virus down at the cellular level. The problem we have with COVID-19 is that it's very disruptive to cells that it invades and convinces with the polymerase to make more of it to create the RNA virus itself and the proteins associated with it. One of the medicines we use that we have the opportunity, actually there's a state trial right now, is hydroxychloroquine, and we're doing that for CDC and National Institutes of Health, and it's a treatment trial instead of being a prospective trial or pre-treatment trial. So we'll see how that works for patients, but we also have multiple ways to disrupt the cellular replication of the virus by transport molecules who transport vital proteins into the cell. And also the replication pattern, the synthesis can be disrupted.
So you have explained a little bit about the types of things that we can do and also talked about just how dangerous this COVID-19 is both to patients and those of us that care for them. So if you could think about your best advice for people in the community who are hearing about this COVID and afraid or maybe not taking it seriously, what would that best advice be?
It's the same thing that the CDC puts up on their recommendations. You can just Google COVID-19 CDC and recommendations will come up immediately. And they are to wash your hands often, to not be around sick people, which doesn't apply to me, and to wear a mask when you're in the presence of people you don't know, both to protect them from if you have it and you're asymptomatic, but also to protect you from getting it. Outside, a cloth mask or covering or surgical mask is perfectly adequate for most people, especially when they're using social distancing. It clearly is not appropriate for somebody that's in close contact with somebody. That's why they recommend the N95 mask for us and the positive pressure flow masks that we have in the emergency room and on the floor if we need them.
So it's simple advice,
yeah,
but it's not to be taken lightly.
No, and staying at home is your best protection because you will not encounter anybody at home that has COVID-19 unless they come to your door. It is hard. You get cabin fever after a winter that you want to get outside and it's nice out. And there was a time when we could say, well, the density or the population of COVID-19 positives in this area is so small that we think we can have kids and families go and play in parks together and things like that, as long as you're not mixing families and keeping your distance. But even now, we're really close to a stay-at-home order, I think, based on the number of cases that have come up in Sioux Falls, which is, you know, the majority of the 500 cases in the state plus. So if you follow those basic things and you're worried about your cleanliness, you don't touch your face, you wipe down surfaces, and if you have a cough and any respiratory distress, contact your provider and have some counsel about what is and what may be COVID-19 and what is not, because clearly if you just have a runny nose as an adult and you don't have any respiratory distress, they're not going to tell you to hurry up and go get a COVID-19 test because it's going to waste the test. Very soon, probably within the week, we will have faster tests. Right now they're at 48 hours. We're hoping to have faster tests that could be reported in 3 hours. That'll be immensely helpful. And the other thing that's coming in probably more like 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks would be the antigen testing, which is available in some parts of the country, where they can say, do you have viral proteins or DNA of this COVID virus? And if you do have some antibodies to that antigen, that is, if you have antibodies to that that genetic material or those proteins that are associated with the virus, then you've already had the illness. And you're partially protected, probably, from having another encounter with it. Yeah, it's a Herculean effort on everybody's part, but it's paying dividends, because I thought we would have been really overloaded by now. 2 weeks ago, when I saw what was coming, I said, well, we're going to be in the thick of it by this time, and we have only had a few cases. So I got to say, it's the help of the people that are doing the outside work of staying distanced and staying clean and working to not transmit the virus have given us the opportunity to prepare for it if we do have large numbers. But right now, because of the extraordinary job that's been done in this county, we have limited the spread of the disease substantially. It's not a reason to be overconfident, but it is a reason to be rewarded.
You've been listening to the Well One Connection, connecting you to important healthcare information. This program is for general use only and is not meant to replace the advice of your doctor or other medical professional. If you have questions, contact your healthcare provider. The Well One Connection is a weekly program of Huron Regional Medical Center, providing quality healthcare close to home. Online at HuronRegional.org.